I get it, man. If you're one of these beanbag sitters, though, on the office ping pong champion, they're coming for you. The tables have turned. Folks are cutting back. And your next TikTok might end up this way.
Big life update. I got laid off yesterday.
New development in the case of Shondae Robinson, the 19-year-old who was murdered, her body dismembered earlier this year. That was her arm that washed up on a beach in Illinois. You'll recall there was some controversy over it. Waukegan, Illinois alderman posted a picture of the severed limb on social media, what was said to be an arm discovered on the beach. Waukegan County Sheriff's Office now saying those remains have been positively identified as belonging to Robinson. Read to you from the news release here from the Sheriff's Office. Wisconsin Department of Justice Crime Lab indicated DNA testing on a human limb found in May on the beach in Waukegan, Illinois, confirmed that remains belong to Shondae Robinson, Milwaukee woman murdered in early April. They add the investigation into Robinson's death in partnership with other local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies is ongoing. Thoughts and prayers to Ms. Robinson's family. As for the family, we have talked about how difficult this has been, not only because they lost this vibrant young woman, but that they continue to relive this nightmare
over and over and over again
as more evidence is found. And that may never really feel like they've laid their loved one to rest, right? TMJ4 News quoting a news release from the family attorney, Sheena Scarborough, Shondae's mother, quote, is devastated and feels like her heart is being cut out as she is constantly tortured by the accumulating news of her daughter's heinous murder. Maxwell Anderson charged with that murder, still being held, $5 million bail. Families filed a wrongful death lawsuit against him in a separate civil case. Anderson still locked up, awaiting his next court appearance next month. Sports coming up next. It's sponsored by Holiday Automotive at Highway 23 in Fond du Lac. Holiday Automotive, it's worth the trip.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Brewers flashing the leather on the West Coast. The seven-game roadie continues tonight, coming off a dramatic finish in Anaheim.
McGill again. Ready to go. Checks his runners. 1-2 pitch. Fly ball right center. Back Frelick on the warning track. Leaping and he caught it! It's over! Sal Frelick up and over the yellow line. He robs a homer. And the Brewers end up winning this ball game by a final of 6-3.
Jeff Levering on the call here on WTMJ.
What a catch. I'm telling you. It's these little things like this that create a championship season.
We were listening to the highlight here in the newsroom when we were getting ready for the show, and Eric goes, championship season.
It's like, this kind of silliness, like these crazy catches, Snoop Dogg hanging out with the team.
Yes.
I'm telling you, there's something there.
Brewers win 6-3. Brewers and Angels once again tonight, 8:38 first pitch on WTMJ.
When will Packers quarterback Jordan Love sign his extension? Well, the ball,
Today. Maybe.
It could be. Ball is likely in the Packers court, as the Love camp is kind of sitting and waiting now for a bit more money. This after all these other quarterbacks signed deals. Trevor Lawrence signed a new deal with the Jaguars. It's a 5-year, $275 million extension. It's got $200 million guaranteed. So ESPN's Adam Schefter tells ESPN Milwaukee that he expects Love wants more than what Trevor Lawrence got.
The discussions is the deal that Trevor Lawrence gets done with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that deal doesn't help Green Bay. That deal helps Jordan Love because the average comes in at 55. And breaking news, I don't believe Jordan Love is taking less than Trevor Lawrence.
Adam thinks that he's going to want a little bit more. May not be a lot more, but he's going to want more than Trevor Lawrence. And had he signed earlier, could have been 53 or 54 million a year, but now you're looking at north of 55.
And back to baseball today as Willie Mays has passed away at the age of 93, one of the first African-American players to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball.
Arguably the best player in the history of the Major League.
And then, by the way, was really good at baseball. 720 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On this Wednesday morning, a couple of stories this morning where tech, laziness, and the workplace collide. Now, one involves job seekers who are not going to get the job because hiring managers have busted them doing this. I'll tell you about that in a moment. First, this story.
Ooh, okay.
Broken by Bloomberg, but it's all over now, that Wells Fargo whacked more than a dozen work-from-home employees because while they were home, they weren't working. I've been on this forever.
This is amazing.
Right? So many hybrid or full-time work-from-home folks swear they are more efficient. They're producing greater output in their work-from-home capacities. Anytime we talk about it here on the show, right, we get texts saying as much. And I'm not saying that's never the case, right? I am saying I do think in large part I don't buy it, and neither do the employers. So these workers at Wells Fargo, big banking institution, of course, they got fired apparently for not doing their work. How'd they know? Yahoo Finance picking up the story here.
More than a dozen employees were reportedly let go at Wells Fargo for allegedly using fake keyboard movements to make it seem like they were working.
What? Fake keyboard movements.
That way it indicates that there's activity taking place.
Yes.
So space bar here.
Yes.
Okay.
Employers didn't take long for them to figure out. A lot of these work-from-homers weren't doing anything, so they began monitoring their remote connections. Rather than spend time actually doing their jobs, these deadbeats then spent time figuring out a way around that.
Devices sometimes known as mouse jigglers took off during the pandemic work-from-home era, and people swapped tips for using them on social media.
So you get these devices that kind of move the mouse around every once in a while. You don't even have to come back and hit the space bar yourself. That's how bad it is. So the monitoring software then, right, wouldn't pick up. They'd pick up some online activity, keep the managers off their backs. Well, apparently Wells Fargo figured it out somehow and they got whacked. Analysis here once again from Yahoo Finance.
There is this push-pull with some employees. They don't want to go back to the office. They love the new flexibility that they have been grown accustomed to because of the pandemic. But we have seen more and more managers come out and executives mandating this return to office. And I think a lot of it, one, obviously has to do with culture, but two, just making sure that people are getting their work done and are making great use of their time.
Now, in fairness, they were making great use of their time. They just weren't doing their jobs, right?
Doing the laundry.
Well, doing the laundry.
Who knows? Taking a nap.
Feeding the kids, right? Going for a walk, taking care of the dog.
Yeah.
All right. I mentioned hiring managers. This one is Generation Z. So this would be the newest members of the workforce coming out of college now, and some of them still in college and even later in their high school careers. And it's AI. It's artificial intelligence. Hiring managers report they're getting answers to questions from job seekers and even entire cover letters that are identical. Cover letter and resume, pretty standard job application stuff. So Eric's the hiring manager. He gets a, hey, I really want to work here. It'd be great for the job. Yeah. Gets that letter from me. Gets that letter from Greg Hill. Gets another one from Debbie Lazica. They're all exactly the same. It's AI. They're using ChatGPT. Write me a cover letter for this job. They don't change a word. Shoshana Davis is a Gen Z career expert telling CNBC, I speak to businesses and employers who hire anything from 10 to thousands of Gen Zs every year. One of the main challenges I'm seeing at the moment is the use of AI, specifically ChatGPT. Employers are getting hundreds of the exact same cover letters, word for word, or answers to job application questions that are the same. They suspect ChatGPT is what's doing that.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, you can use it to give you a benchmark,
sure,
you got to change a couple of, personalize it a little bit.
Exactly the same.
I get it, man. If you're one of these beanbag sitters, though, in the office ping pong champion, they're coming for you. The tables have turned, folks are cutting back, and your next TikTok might end up this way.
Big life update. I got laid off yesterday.
Time for news about your money. WTMJ Annex Wealth Management market update. Dow Jones Industrial Average up another 56 points to 38,835. NASDAQ to 17,862. That was up just about 5 points. So holding on to its recent gains. S&P 500 closed up 14 to 5487. I will mention the markets are closed today for the Juneteenth holiday. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, Annex Ignite, financial planning at every level. Details at annexwealth.com. Welcome to The Knowledge Brokers, a weekly feature covering the dynamics of the insurance market and how it affects Wisconsin businesses and residents. Sponsored by the original knowledge broker, R&R Insurance. Back with us again today, Jeff Salazinski, Vice President of Insurance Operations. Jeff, we've talked about cybercrime before. In fact, you were the first person I thought of when we learned of this major healthcare system with many of our own doctors, clinics, and hospitals attacked.
Thank you, Vince. It's great to be here again. Yes, that massive attack is wreaking havoc both on the employees and the patients. Their systems have been down for several weeks. It sounds like chaos. The FBI director has called cybercrime and cyber attacks the defining threat of our generation. Data breach, ransomware, network vulnerabilities, funds transfer fraud, everything and anything that's connected is a target. It boils down to working with an experienced cybercrime specialist. Protect yourself or your business. If your agent doesn't understand the tactics of a cyber threat actor, he or she is going to be of little value after an event.
So let's get into it a little bit. What are some of the expenses that would be covered by a typical cyber insurance policy?
Cyber insurance policies, Vince, vary greatly policy to policy. It's essential you choose coverage that aligns with your business's specific need and risk profile. But here's just a few examples. It can provide financial protection to help restore systems, recover lost data, even hardware replacement.
And why should a business then work with R&R Insurance?
Vince, at R&R Insurance, our dedicated cybercrime insurance team has been in place for almost 10 years. We have some of the best cybercrime experts in the marketplace. We understand the risks and can custom design a cybercrime program that'll protect you and your business. And in the event a loss does occur, we'll be there to support you every step along the way.
That's Jeff from R&R Insurance. Thanks for the great info, Jeff. Brewers on the West Coast, so is former reliever and current broadcaster Tim Dillard, yet he still plans to get up super early on West Coast time and join us for Brewers 360. That's coming up at 7:45.
So more Americans are traveling, and the demand for passports is soaring. Kamen McCormick has more on how the government's keeping up with the demand.
The State Department says more Americans can travel abroad today than at any time in our history. In 1990, only 5% of Americans had a passport. That is now at 48%. Last year, more than 24 million passports were issued, more than ever.
And now, more passport offices are going to be open nationwide. That's great news. Because my biggest fear has always been, well, how long are you going to be without it? Like, if you're going to re-up your passport.
Yeah, you have to send your old one in,
like,
right?
Weeks, months on end without having one. In some cases, that's a deal, I suppose.
Well, don't you always have a spring trip that's overseas or out of the country?
Yeah, generally. Yeah. I have an out-of-the-country trip scheduled in February, so now I'm wondering. And I'm getting up close to my expiration.
So what is it that you're wondering?
Like, should I send it in now?
Clearly. What are you waiting for?
Well, I don't know. What if we want to go to Niagara Falls or something? I don't know.
Just stay on the New York side, then, right?
I just like having a passport.
Just make sure in case I need to get to Canada right away.
Boundary waters, good fishing up there.
No, send it in right now. Get that taken care of.
Okay.
7:38, Wisconsin's Morning News. We're sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. Heard Saturdays at 10, right here on WTMJ.
Lucky guy. That's all I'll say.
Right?
Remember that guy? Dr. Joe Gow?
Absolutely.
What do you call him?
A porny McChancellor.
Yeah, former chancellor at UW La Crosse. PMC for short.
Oh, I like that.
He was removed from his
records,
position.
That's in the glossary.
Because he and his wife posted pornographic videos on porn websites, so they removed him as chancellor at that time.
To do the kind of work that you do, you know, you got to be in great shape and have a lot of stamina.
Well, big news today regarding Dr. John Gow.
I love that guy.
Today.
You got to have a lot of stamina if you want to be in this business.
So a two-day hearing begins today in Onalaska, which is near La Crosse, where Gow's going to fight for his faculty position, which he still holds. So he wants to teach again, and he's got 2 days where he's going to go back and forth to try to make that happen.
We're thrilled to have the one and only Will Pounder on our show.
I don't know if Will Pounder will be called to the stand. They can bring in witnesses, though. So we caught up with Gow and talked to him about his interest in returning to the classroom. We talked to him about some of that other stuff as well. We'll run that at 8:10 this morning. Here, I'll give you one of the questions we asked.
Okay.
You want to do that? Okay.
Yeah.
Say everything works out for you and you're back teaching again and, I don't know, Will Pounder or someone texts you and says, hey, Joe, let's do another video. What are you doing? Are you posting more pornographic videos with your wife and with others? What do you think he said?
That's a great tease.
We'll
find
out at 8:10.
Tell you at 8:10. 7:44, we got Tim Diller joining us next on Brewers 360.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
I want to play the levering bite again, or the levering highlight again.
Yes, please.
I mean, so the Brewers, in the ninth inning, They're up 6-3, but the Angels have two men on base, and this happens. Two outs.
McGill again. Ready to go. Checks his runners. 1-2 pitch. Fly ball right center. Back Frelick on the warning track. Leaping, and he caught it! It's over! Sal Frelick up and over the yellow line. He robs a homer, and the Brewers end up winning this ball game by a final of 6-3.
Brewers and Angels again tonight, 8:38, right here on WTMJ. Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. And live from the West Coast, where it's 5:46 a.m., first pitch 15 hours away, is former ballplayer and Brewers broadcaster Tim Dillard. Dude, I really appreciate you doing it, man, but we would have given you a pass today, Tim.
Okay, good. Because it's early, so yeah, no problem. Happy to be on.
Tim, there were two things that happened in that game that are basically what kids dream about doing in their backyard or at the park. You have the Jackson Churio run around the bases in 14 seconds or whatever it was inside the park home run.
14.7.
Yeah, sorry. And then you have what Frelick did at the end of the game to rob a home run, two outs to win the game. This is like dream-like stuff.
Well, we're seeing a lot of this kind of stuff with this young team, just a dynamic ball club. But, yeah, I can't believe they only gave that like a double and an error for Churio. I think it should be inside the Parker. They overturned Frelick on the ball in right field the game before, game one of the series. And, you know, after charging an error, they took it away. So I definitely think it should be an inside the Parker home run. But, I mean, golly, Sal Frelick, he was already playing deep because of no doubles to keep the guy off third base or maybe keep him off second base. And so for him to drop back and rob a home run to win the game, this is coming off the last win of a runner getting thrown out at home to end the game. So, yeah, the Brewers just can't play a boring one at all, can they? But Sal Frelick, I mean, the flying trapeze, that was a pretty amazing thing. B.A. was on the call, Brian Anderson, right next to me. We looked at each other like, no way that just happened.
Talking with Tim Dillard, Brewers broadcaster, and been on the hill yourself as well, Tim. What is that like for a pitcher when the potential game-tying home run is flying very quickly toward the seats?
Yeah, well, usually mine reach the seats, so I don't. I would have no idea what that's like. No, I think I actually had a guy, Hanley Stacia, a guy that we had. I think he's a coach now. Usually an infielder. He was playing left field randomly in one game at the old Greer Stadium, AAA for the Sounds. I think he robbed a home run for me out in left. It's a pretty cool thing. I think I also had a guy rob a home run, Zach Granite. He was a center fielder for us in 2019, I think. He got up high and robbed one for me. It's special. You know, you buy him dinner, you buy him lunch, whatever they'll let you do, but you definitely give him a hug because your heart's dropped, right? Like you know it. Pitchers know it when they give it up, and you're like, oh, and you're already gone there mentally, physically. Like it's hard to recoup from that. Like let's say that ball goes out and it's tie ball game, but how do you lock it back in for the next hitter, man? This is the big leagues. It's a tough gig. So when that happens, it's a natural reaction. So I loved how Sanchez and McGill reacted. That's going to be a meme, just the best meme
right?
ever.
Hey, so they've gone through so many different pitchers, what, like have had at least 12 starters already this year just because of injury or whatnot. Can you put that into perspective, Tim, just how difficult that is to either manage or to facilitate when you've gone through this many starters already and they continue to win?
Yeah, I mean, people ask me when I show up, one of the things that broadcasters do, which I didn't know was a thing, but is a thing, that they get together and they talk about their club. So you can kind of get the inside scoop. So you have something to share on air, especially a team that you don't see that much, like the Angels. You're only going to see them one time this year. And they were like, well, how do the Brewers keep winning? And you're like, well, they just figure it out. Every single day they figure it out. You can put a lot of it on the bullpen, but what I want to say about the starters is they've overcome a lot, because what I see is the catchers coming forward here, because to learn a pitcher that many times, and figure out their tendencies and what they're trying to do, is a tough thing. It's tough enough in the minor leagues when you do have a lot of starters. You have a lot of relievers that you got to get to know, but it's a revolving door, right? You may catch in a week and catch, 20 different pitchers because that's the way it is. The big leagues, there's no room for error. You have to be on the same page with this many guys. It's a tough gig, but what I think we're seeing is everybody getting comfortable. Look at Tobias Myers. I think he's figured it out with his pitch usage, figuring it out with his catchers, and he is thriving. So if this is what it looks like, when you have a young guy that's, putting it together and the catchers are on the same page, wow. I mean, and then hopefully they'll get some guys back from injury soon as well. But it's a tough thing. And to me, it relies mostly on the catchers to have to step up. And I mean, it's a mental grind back there sometimes with this many guys.
Brewers' Tim Dillard up early with us this morning. Tim, really appreciate your time. Enjoy the West Coast roadie.
Hey, you got it. I'm going back to bed.
All right. Enjoy. Yes. First pitch like 14 hours, 45 minutes from now. And he just made another great case for William Contreras as an all-star.
Absolutely. It'll happen.
7:51 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Former President Donald Trump addressing the alleged horrible city remark and reports that he's not even going to stay in Milwaukee when he accepts the party's nomination for president at the Republican National Convention, which is coming up next month. More on that in a moment, though. First, his rally here at the sun-soaked, hot, and humid Festival Park in Racine.
Thank you very much. Wow. Oh. And, I love Milwaukee. I was the one that picked Milwaukee, I have to tell you.
The former president accused of saying Milwaukee is a horrible city in a closed-door meeting with Wisconsin's Republican congressional delegation. Here's what the former president had to say about that meeting specifically.
And I think you had about 10 congressmen in a meeting that we had recently where I said how much I like Milwaukee. They all came out. They said, that's what he said. We can't help it. And they're truthful people. But I just want to begin by saying, hello, Wisconsin. Hello. Great state. We've had great success here. It's great to be back in this beautiful state.
About a 90-minute speech. The president was on stage, full suit and tie in that sweltering heat. Are we done with the horrible Milwaukee now? Has it run the full cycle? It was asked. It was reported. Did he say it? Did he not say it? He's explained it multiple times. People are going to think what they're going to think.
I think it'll likely come back around come convention time.
People keep using it to poke at him, correct? Right? Yeah. But, what more do we need to know about that?
Does he address it again? Right. Likely no.
No, I mean, Maybe kind of more of what you heard. I love Milwaukee. Okay. Back to the issue of where the former president will stay. There was a report from ABC 7 News. New York Times was in on it as well, citing a law enforcement source that said former president was not planning to stay in Milwaukee. In fact, was going to be in the Windy City during the convention and then would commute to Milwaukee for the convention for however many days he was planning to spend here. TMJ 4 News chief political reporter Charles Benson had a one-on-one with the former president after the rally.
There's a report out of Chicago that says you may be overnighting in Chicago instead of Milwaukee. Is that the plan?
Well, they have probably, they think, because they have a hotel there, have a beautiful hotel there, beauty. As good as it gets, but I'm staying here. I was always planning on staying here.
I love how he always gets that in there.
As good as it gets.
As good as it gets, that hotel.
What was playing in the background?
That was Celine Dion. It's post-game, so it was after the event. And there's always, if you've ever attended one of these things for a candidate or a sitting president, there's always, music associated with it. They walk off stage to some sort of song.
Yeah, theme song from Titanic.
I just don't get that.
All right.
So
he says, no, that's not true?
No, not true. I'm going to stay. I was always planning to stay in Milwaukee.
I kind of assumed, I thought I had read that the nominee is anticipated at staying at, what is that, the Trade?
The Trade, the new hotel right next to the Fiserv Forum. That would make sense. Or when presidents typically stay in Milwaukee, it's at the Pfister, in the presidential suite. So we will see. He says he is planning to be here and stay here when he accepts the GOP nomination for president in July. I'll just mention Tausch was off today, so he's not gone. What happened to Tausch? Back tomorrow, just had a day off. And his appearance is on Wisconsin's Morning News, are sponsored by Kohler Services.